Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to just declare a word over you. And I felt this word last Saturday, and I felt it for the whole church. And I feel like it's appropriate just to release over you something powerful when you release the word of God. The Bible said God looks over his word to perform it. It's found in Joel 2:23-26. It says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, the people of God, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you." So he has sustained you to this point because he's faithful. The former rain. And the latter rain in the first month. Somebody say first month. We're in the first month of 2018. We still got 9 days left for things to shift in your life. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. The Bible says if we honor the Lord with our possessions and the first fruits of all of our increase, that our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will overflow with new wine. So I will restore you. So I will restore you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I set among you. I'm not sure if you know this, but Pastor Jurgen got a word before this year started, and the word was recovery. God is going to recover things that you've been stolen from you. God's going to restore things that the locusts have eaten, and it's going to happen in the first month. The latter rain's coming now. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. God is not willing that his people would be put to shame. He's going to cause you to overflow this year in 2018. You don't have to wait till December. You don't have to wait till the summer. The latter rain's coming now in the first month. It's January of 2018. Get ready, because the rain is falling. You are going to find your year exploding, your financial world, your marriage, your friendships, your spiritual life. The latter rain is coming, and it's coming in the first month. If you believe it, give God one more shout. Man, I love 5 p.m. service. It's the last service of the weekend. Might as well just lay it all on the line. Might as well just go for it. Amen? Come on, who's ready to get free tonight? Someone's going to get free tonight. You can take a seat. Punch your neighbor. Man, the worship was out of control tonight. Come on, Joel. Worship was amazing. Genesis. You sounded incredible. It's always good to see Audrey, Pastor Audrey, up on stage. Oddsalicious, as she is affectionately known as. And how many people love your campus pastors? Pastor Matt, Michaela Hubbard. Two of the greatest people on planet Earth. The last time I was here, Kayla didn't come. This time I'm here, Pastor Michaela didn't come. I'm thinking there's a theme, there's something going on. I text her on the front row and I said, I had an audible word from God on the way here for you, but since you didn't come, you're not going to get it. It's great to be here. Hey, I'm not sure if you know this, but today we launched our East Campus. Out in Santee, I call it Rancho Santee Fe, because that's where I live, way out there. And there was, like, I went to the 9 o'clock service at a 9 and 11. So this is my third campus today. And I got to tell you, we have roaring churches going on all over the county. Like, the worship tonight was out of control. The worship this morning at East was unbelievable. The atmosphere. I'm just thinking, if you're new and you walked into that atmosphere, you would be blown away. Like, East County is in for it, and I'm so excited. And actually, it's a fulfillment of a vision that Pastor Jurgen had, you know, 12 years ago when he got here. It was one church in four locations. That is our fourth location. Now we're up to 16, but originally it was four. But, you know, we never catch up to our dreams. God's always got another dream. He's always got another vision for us. So the closer you get, he's just going to download another one. And so, but it's an exciting day for us as a church, and you should be proud of yourselves because so many of you have been sowing and giving and so generous, and that's why we can start an East Campus. And I was telling the church this morning that San Diego, a lot of people think of missions as, you know, the Philippines or Africa or whatever, and that is missions, but we have an assignment to deal with San Diego. This is our mission field. So every time we take territory, we are on a mission. It is a mission. There was over 500 people in East County today for the very first time at a new church. That is called a mission. That is a mission field. And so give yourselves a hand for your generosity and your giving. And Mike and Lisa Hundley will thank you, are thanking you, and they love you. But it's just been an extraordinary, extraordinary Sunday. I'm going to have these guys stay with me because I like it when the band's behind me. Or sorry, the worship team is behind me. The Holy Spirit won't leave. But I got to preach at My City Youth on Friday night at Central Campus, and I was inspired. I was inspired because you guys have a theme this year, or maybe it's just this month, I don't know, but it's uncommon. Is that like a yearly thing? I like that. Because God died on a cross so you wouldn't be common. God died on a cross so you could live an uncommon life. This year at C3 San Diego, we're going to do our best to make it as easy as possible for you to live uncommon, for you to live extraordinary. But you might have to do some things. You might have to make some decisions. You might have to change some behaviors. You might have to pray a little more. You may have to be in church a little bit more. You may have to believe a little bit bigger. And if you get knocked down, you definitely have to get up, because we're a house of faith, and faith never gives up. Faith always rises. So we're going to do our part. We want you to do your part. Uncommon people have to do uncommon things, and then they get uncommon results. You're in the midst of uncommon people. You're in the midst of extraordinary people, and that's the way that I believe we need to live our lives. We need to be supernatural. We need to be extraordinary. We need to be uncommon. We need to be kind of unrelatable in a sense. But we have to be relatable, but we have to be unrelatable. We have to be ordinary, but we have to be extraordinary. We have to be natural, but we have to be supernatural. There's a tension that we live in, because God said you got to live in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. So we got to live in it. We have to be common enough to fit into culture, but we have to be uncommon enough to disrupt it. The greatest government leaders will come from the church. The greatest artists will come from the church. The greatest musicians will come from the church. The greatest sounds will come from the church. The greatest athletes will come from the church. The greatest media personalities will come from the church. The greatest educators, teachers, principals, superintendents will come from the church. The greatest business people, entrepreneurs, innovators, creators, entrepreneurs are going to come from the church, because we're uncommon and we serve an uncommon God where nothing is impossible with Him. I want you to know 2018 is going to be your greatest year of your life. We have to be natural. We have to be relatable enough to be able to build relationships and gain trust with each other. But then we have to be supernatural enough and unrelatable enough that we can still lay hands on the sick and see him recover, that we can still prophesy the future, that we still cast out demons, that we can still believe bigger than our friends because we serve a God that's bigger. We serve a God that's uncommon. We have to play that tension. We have to be ordinary enough so that we're not weird. There's a lot of Christians that get so spiritual, they get weird. So we have to be ordinary enough to not be weird, because God isn't weird. Just people are weird. God is not weird. Nobody's weird here, except the other campuses. So we have to be ordinary enough not to be weird, but we have to be extraordinary at the same time. So that just means your friends might have a vision. They might have a vision to build a great company. and to live in Rancho Santa Fe and to get a Ferrari and to have a family. And that's great. That's amazing. But you're extraordinary. So your vision would be to start a great company, live wherever you want to live, be blessed to be a blessing, include other people in your vision, start to impact society, impact culture, take responsibility for our city. That would be your vision because you're not just ordinary, you're extraordinary. So you fit in, yet there's a distinct difference. People look at you and they see that you're human. They see that you have skin like they do, that you kind of talk like them, that you kind of look like them. But we look a little bit more fly too, because we're at C3. But they say, you kind of look like me, you kind of talk like me, but there's something different. There's something that I can't relate to. I can't figure out what it is. Let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus Christ. He is the distinction. He is the difference maker. He wants to separate you from the pack, so the pack wants to be like you. He's the one that puts the extra on your ordinary, the super on your natural, the on your common. His name is Jesus. He wants to separate us. He wants you to live a life that is big. 2018, I'm telling you, I've never been this excited about a year. There's something in the atmosphere, but he wants you to be separate. Exodus 33:16, the second half, this is Moses. He says, so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. God wants to separate his kids. He wants to put favor on your life. He wants to empower you to do the supernatural, the impossible, because we have a city to reach. What good would it be to invite someone to a church that's just the same as the world? We are counterculture people, but yet we fit into culture. But then we disrupt culture. We're separate. I'm not sure if you caught the song that they played when I walked up. One of my favorite songs at the moment. I was a rapper in my former life. Just kidding, we don't believe in that if you're new. We don't believe in the former. You ever notice how someone in their former life wasn't like a scrub or like a dog? They're always like a king or a queen or something like that. But the song I walked up to, that has nothing to do with my message. The song that I walked up to is called Destiny. I'm not sure if you caught the words, but it says, I'm just fulfilling my destiny to the death of me. I'm just fulfilling my destiny to the death of me. And I like that. I think it's a great statement. It fires me up because it's saying that this guy, NF, is going to fulfill his destiny whether it kills him or not. He's going to fulfill it whether he dies or not. And I thought that was a great statement. It excited me. But then I started to realize just this week when I started to listen to the song that it's actually kind of an ordinary statement. It's actually not an extraordinary statement. Because supernatural people don't think like that. They don't think that I'm going to fulfill my destiny until the death of me. They think until the death of me, I can't fulfill my destiny. So until we die, we can't live the life that God's called us to live. So till the death of us, we can't live the life that he wants us to live. So it was an ordinary statement, but I thought that an extraordinary statement, a supernatural mind would say, till the death of me, I can't fulfill my destiny. I want to talk to you tonight on that subject of till the death of me. Because I don't believe we can live an extraordinary life until we first put ourselves to death, put our desires to death. Until we crucify our flesh, we can't live the life that God's called us to live. And this is coming because the verse for my year this year that I believe God gave me is Galatians 2:20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is Paul in the New Testament. And what he's saying, I got to crucify my flesh so that I can unlock the resurrection of Jesus Christ in me. So it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But we can't live that life unless we crucify ourselves. We got to get rid of some stuff. We got to get rid of some old mindsets. We got to take off some wrong thinking. We got to change some behaviors. We might have to cut off some relationships. We got to make some changes. We got to get rid of ourselves so that we can live the life that God wants us to live. And there's a passage of scripture in Mark 10:46-52. A lot of you would know this story about blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to read it to you, and then I just want to talk about it for a minute. It's found in Mark 10:46-52. I think the guys have it. It says, now they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. It's an amazing story of blind Bartimaeus. And as I started to study a little bit, the Bible says in verse 46 that as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. Blind son of Timaeus sat by the road begging. I tried to find the word for Timaeus. What does Timaeus mean? And the only word I could find that Timaeus meant was defiled. Blind son of defiled was sitting on the side of the road. A lot of the Bible scholars even believe that Timaeus was blind himself, which means that there was two generations of blindness that Jesus snapped in a moment. I'm not sure what you're facing today. I'm not sure if there's been stuff that has been passed down into your lineage, into your family line. I'm not sure if there's been a generational thing happening in your family of poverty or of sickness or whatever, but Jesus can deliver you in a moment. One encounter with him can snap generational curses and generational issues in your life. Just one encounter. And when blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus, I believe, knew that there was something more for him. I believe he knew that there was a destiny on the inside of him and that he wasn't meant to just be blind Bartimaeus begging on the side of a road. The Bible says when he heard that it was Jesus walking down the road. Jesus is the Word. When he heard the Word walking down the road, when he heard the Word passing him by, he wasn't going to let the Word pass him by. So many times we hear the Word and we let it just pass by us and we don't apply it to our life. Blind Bartimaeus was not ready. He was not going to be denied. He wanted to apply that Word into his life because he knew there was something more. He knew there was something more. He wasn't going to let the Word pass him by. Uncommon people are not denied. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. I believe Jesus is calling you and you. He's calling all of us tonight. What are we going to do about it? Jesus is calling you. What are you going to do about it? Next verse says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. You need to understand that the garment that he wore was the label that the world had given him. It was that he was a blind beggar. It was what defined him as a blind beggar. It could have been the only thing that he owned. It would have been the thing that people would have known to give him money because he was a blind beggar. Sometimes it's hard to throw away our old mindsets and the labels that the world has given us. But we know we can't let the world label us. We know that the only one that can label us is the one that created us. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can label you. He's the only one that you need to listen to. Blind Bartimaeus threw away his old garment. He threw it away, even though it was that thing, it was the comfort zone. But he knew till the death of him, he couldn't live. He couldn't live the life, the destiny that God gave him. Because he knew there was more. So he threw it aside. He threw it aside. Couldn't have been easy because he'd been blind his whole life. It's all he knew. It was comfortable for him. He was getting by. He was getting by, but I love it because when he found out that he was called, he got up. He threw away his garment, and he got up. When Jesus calls, we got to get up. We got to get up, and then he came to Jesus. We got to get up, and we got to come to Jesus tonight. If you are struggling with anything that is keeping you bound, you got to get up out of your seat, and you got to come down to the altar to encounter him. You're going to have an opportunity to do that in just a minute. And he left it all on the line. Like if he was in Vegas, he would have went all in. He came to Jesus, been blind all his life, and he said, Jesus, I'm trusting in you to set me free, to give me vision. He would have been made fun of, ridiculed, left out his whole life. And if this went wrong, he would have just been made fun of all the more. But he didn't care. He left it all on the line. He went all in for Jesus. He's worth it. He's worth it. He left his whole life behind him, and he went to Jesus. Jesus answered him and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you in 2018? Have you written it down? Did you write your vision down last week? What do you want Jesus to do for you in 2018? Because like Pastor Sam was saying, we have not because we ask not. You might need to get a bigger ask in 2018. Punch your neighbor and say, you need a bigger ask. You need to do some squats. Then the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Bart knew what he wanted. He wanted to see. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. It's an amazing story about somebody who was willing to get out of his comfort zone, throw away his old mindsets, come to Jesus, live it all on the line, and get delivered. But then I love it because sometimes we get delivered, we get free, we get prayer, we get blessed, and then we go our own way. Jesus says, go your own way, but then it says, immediately, it says that he received his sight, and then he followed Jesus. Jesus says, go your own way, do whatever you want to do, and Bart made a decision that he was going to start to follow Jesus. If you get free or if you get blessed, you can continue in that slipstream or you can go do your own thing. Tonight, I want you to know that once you get set free, you need to start to follow Jesus. You need to start to seek him in that area. You need to fill yourself in that area. You don't have to, but it will be better for you. He went from a blind beggar begging on the side of a road to a man following Jesus on a mission to save the world. It's an incredible, incredible story. We have untapped potential on the inside of us, but we have to be willing to throw away our old mindsets, our old garments. It's kind of like an onion. You ever went to the store and bought an onion? You can't really smell the onion when you buy it, when you bring it home. But you can see it's all crackly, the skin on the outside. There's a bunch of layers. But it's not until you cut into the onion, it's not until you pull away the layers that you can start to smell the potency, that you realize that it has the power to make you cry. It's not until you cut it open. We have layers that we've been putting on, that we've been, you know, through our lives, from our generations, from our family, from the dysfunction in our life, whatever. We need to peel away those layers if we want to unleash that potential on the inside of us. Till the death of us, we can't unlock the potential that is on the inside of us. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I love that story because that scripture because we like to talk about the blood of the Lamb. We like to talk about the word of our testimony, but the last part says they did not love their lives till the end. In other words, they put his life and his calling above their own life. They crucified their desires, their will, and they followed him. That's how they overcame the devil. Sometimes it's easier said than done, though. Getting rid of something that we've lived with our whole life, like fear, anxiety, insecurity, unforgiveness, addiction, perversion. There's all of these things, self-hatred, that we've lived with for whatever reason. Some we've inflicted on ourselves. Some other people have hurt us. So we had no control over it, yet we keep it. My mom, just a couple of years ago, was struggling with unforgiveness. Someone had hurt her. Someone had wronged her. She'd been working for a company for 30 years, and her old boss had kind of wronged her, started after she had left. She gave her whole life to him. And if you know my mom, she's a great, great woman of God. She's a great servant. But he started to talk bad about her. He started to talk bad about her and even my sister, who was then working for them. And so my mom struggled with this anger and this bitterness for 3 years after. She couldn't sleep. She was angry. She knew it was eating her alive, but she couldn't get rid of it. And she actually said she had it so long it became comfortable for her, and she didn't want to give it away. Because she knew if she had a bad day, she could blame it on him or blame it on that. until one day in church, God spoke to her. And in her seat, she released it. She let it go. And all of a sudden, she could sleep again. All of a sudden, she had the joy that returned to her. All of a sudden, in a moment, because God spoke to her in her seat, and she made a decision to let it go. What have we been holding on to that all we got to do is throw that away and let God give us sight, give us vision, heal us, set us free? So often, I think we struggle with these things, be it insecurity, fear, whatever, and we fight in the natural. We try to get rid of it by reading books, by going to counseling, and all that stuff is good. But sometimes you have to encounter power in order to get rid of that stuff, because we can't fight a supernatural battle in the natural. We have to take care of the supernatural. That's who we're fighting. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." That is who our fight is against. Until we handle the natural will stay as it is, because it's the supernatural that dictates the natural. In Luke 13, there's a lady, she's bent over for 18 years like this. And Jesus calls her over, and he rebukes the spirit of infirmity. It was the spirit that was keeping her bound. As soon as he rebuked that spirit, it left her, and then she got up. But it wasn't until he dealt with the supernatural, with the spirit, could the natural manifest. So we got to deal with the supernatural. And this might be new to some of you, but there actually is a God, there is a devil, there are angels, and there are demons. And the devil wants to oppress your life. He wants to put pressure on you. He wants to keep you down. When I got to this church, I didn't know anything about this stuff. I didn't know anything about the spirit realm. Pastor Matt and I, about 11 years ago, I'll never forget this, I may have told you this story before, but we're in church, and there's this couple in our church, and they gave a report about how there was demonic activity in their house and in their apartment. And we were brand new to this stuff. We both grew up the same way, not knowing about the spirit realm. But we were willing. We were willing to fight some devils. That sounded like a good idea. And so we're like, we'll go. Pick us. And so it was me, Pastor Matt, and maybe like four other people in this tiny like Prius-like thing. I think it was before Priuses, though. I don't know if Pastor Matt wouldn't have gotten a Prius, I don't think. No offense. So we get in this car, and there's like four other people. So there's six of us in this little car. We put on worship music because we're thinking, you know, that's probably what you do. And then we go to this house, and we walk into this apartment. Now, you got to understand, this is like some serious demonic activity happening here. Like, she had been thrown out of her bed. Furniture had been moved without them touching it. Like, this was serious. But we were willing. Sometimes God just needs people that are willing. He'll use anybody. He's used a donkey in the Bible. He'll use anybody. He's the burning bush. So we walk into this apartment. And we had some oil, and we had some friends. And so we walk into this thing knowing nothing. We're anointing the doorpost with oil. We're casting out, you know, like there'd be a wind that blew the curtains, and we're like, devil, get out in Jesus' name. You know, we're like Ghostbusters, da-da-da-da-da, you know. We're rolling in here. Anything that looked demonic or black or dark, we're like, yeah, you got to throw that away. That's a gateway. That's letting. There was like these weird masks that they bought, like, oh, you got to throw that away. So we're like chucking all their stuff, all these books and everything, like no idea what we're doing. I'm sure we got some devils out, though. I'm sure. But Pastor Jurgen had to go clean up shop like the next week. But we did our duty. But I didn't know about this stuff. That was just the first step. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing to confront the spiritual realm, because it's real. It's real. And it's powerful. So we fight these supernatural battles in the natural, and nothing happens. And so we get stuck. We get stuck in our ways. We get comfortable with our dysfunction, and we start to make the same mistakes, suffer the same things over and over and over again, and no matter what you do, you can't get free. It could be failures in business. It could be sickness. It could be addiction. It could be all of the things that we talk about. It could be self-hatred. It could be suicidal thoughts. It could be depression. It could be addiction. It could be fear and anxiety. Those are big. And we think it's normal because we've just lived with it. So we just accept it as that's who we are. That's how we were. My mom was like that. My dad was like that. So I'm just like that. But there's a new normal that you can experience tonight, starting tonight. A new normal of freedom from that stuff. And it can happen in a moment. Just like blind Bartimaeus, can happen in a second. But because it's a supernatural force that is holding you down, that is oppressing you, it has to be confronted by a more powerful supernatural force. Newton's first law of motion says this: an object will remain at rest until it is acted upon by an unbalanced force. There's something called liftoff. Y'all heard of liftoff? Liftoff is when an aircraft, a spacecraft, or a rocket rises from the ground and gets released from a launch pad or stabilizing equipment. It's called liftoff. When a rocket will launch and keep speeding up as long as the force pushing it upwards is greater than the forces pulling it and pushing it downwards. So if there's a force greater pushing it up, it'll continue to rise and speed up and gain momentum. But if there's gravity and drag and wind that's pushing it down, that's greater than the forces pushing it up, it will begin to fall. That liftoff is when the most power, when the most fuel, and when the most thrust is needed. Engines can generate up to 37 million horsepower to lift a rocket off the ground. And then the horsepower can be reduced significantly once the rocket is airborne and momentum is created. But there has to be a large amount of power and of thrust and of fuel at the beginning, when it's stuck, when it's bound, when it's on the launch pad, when it's in the stabilizing equipment. There has to be a thrust of power to shake it loose. Much force and power is needed initially, but then once it gets free from the tower and the stabilizing equipment, that power can be significantly reduced. It's a picture of deliverance. We get stuck because of our family, because of our dysfunction, because of whatever it is, because we've been fighting supernatural battles in a natural way. So we get stuck, we can't move, and so we need a confrontation with unbalanced power, and we need a large amount of power and of force and of thrust and of fuel at the beginning to dislodge us so that we can begin to fly without all that power. Then you can reduce the power. You still need some power, but you can reduce that power. But God wants to dislodge your dysfunction tonight. He wants to get you unstuck so that you can live a life that He wants you to live, so that you can see again. He wants to reveal a new life for you, a bigger life for you. He wants to get you out of your fear and anxiety and sickness and set you free. But we got to throw off our old garments. We got to get up. We got to come to Jesus. And then once we get free, we got to follow Him. We got to follow Him. The Bible says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. There is no equal and opposite reaction to the power of God. Once He dislodges you, there is no other power that can keep you there unless you allow it, unless you go back to your old ways. Because here's the thing, the devil's not going to let you walk away free, unharmed or unscathed. He's going to come back and try to get you back. He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. So once you get free, you need to stay free. A lot of that is on us. Us meaning us. We have to stay free. We have to make decisions. We have to change the way we do things. We have to follow Jesus. You have to get into a connect group. Get involved. Get around uncommon people. Uncommon people don't follow the crowds. Think if blind Bartimaeus would have listened to the crowd that told him to shut up. He would have never got his freedom. Uncommon people don't do what the crowd does. Uncommon people stand out. Extraordinary people stand out and they hang out with other extraordinary people. We're going to pray in just a minute. We got a few minutes left. But before we do that, I'd love it if everyone would just close their eyes and bow their head. The very first step to freedom and dislodging your dysfunction is actually inviting Jesus into your life. And there might be some people here that have never done that. There might be some people here who have never actually made Jesus their Lord and Savior. He is the power that you need to get you in the right direction, to dislodge you, to cause you to lift off. So I want to give you an opportunity before we pray that if that's you, if you've never invited Christ into your life, or maybe, you know what, maybe you did years ago or even months ago, and today you're saying, you know what, I want to get back into alignment with Christ. With every eye closed and head bowed, would you just lift your hand where you are so I can pray with you? right now. Is there anybody like that? God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands over there to my left. God bless you guys. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? It's the first step to your liftoff. Once I see your hand, you can put it down. Thank you. Thank you right here in the middle. Thank you. With every eye closed and head bowed, I'd love it if everybody in the room, especially those that raised their hand, would repeat this prayer after me. Just say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, tonight, I invite you into my life, and I ask that you would dislodge my dysfunction, that you would teach me how to live for you. Tonight, I declare that heaven is my home, that God is my Father, and that I am his child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, why don't we give those four or five people a hand? God bless you. So proud of all of you that lifted your hand. We have some of our team that might come to you at the end of the service. Find somebody. They want to give you a book, a book called Following Jesus. That'll just help you on your journey. Sometimes the Bible is overwhelming, but this book will help you just take that next step and continue to stay free in your life. But right now, I'd love if you stand to your feet. The worship team is going to sing a couple of songs. And if you're one of those people that have just been stuck and you've been fighting battles that you now have been awakened to, might be supernatural things, but you've been fighting it in the natural. Or maybe you've just been not knowing what to do, but you're thinking, man, maybe if God comes into my life, I can be dislodged and I can start to live the life that he's called me to live, an uncommon life. I'm going to invite the ministry team forward. And if that's you, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. We are all cheering for you. If you don't come forward and you're staying in there, I want you to stretch out your hands. I want you to pray with us. This is not a spectator sport. This is a family, and we want everybody in here to be free. We want everyone in here to be released into the call of God. So let me just pray a corporate prayer over you. The team's going to sing a song, and then come down and get prayer. Get dislodged. Father, I thank you for the power of God. Lord, I thank you that the Bible says you've given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, over all the powers of the enemy. So right now, I take authority over every demonic force, over every evil spirit in Jesus' name. I break your power. I command you to release the people of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, that you would touch these lives, that you would set people free tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.